forward by Toletti. And a fantastic image, an own goal in the end, but it's a brilliant shot from Gianni. In the post, bounce back off the goalkeeper and in. France a level and out of nothing on the stroke of half-time.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Diaspora United. We back. We are back. Even though there's a whole ass ocean between us, I am in the States. Courtney, my co-host, is not. Courtney, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm here. I can't lie, I'm really tired, per usual, but like a different type of tired, like the good, like I'm on vacation tired, so I've just been doing a lot of things. That have been fun, not I've been up till 3 o'clock in the morning for the past 45 days working on work stuff. So even though I'm still tired, I'm good. I just had some gluten-free croissants from one of my favorite places in London. I ordered literally so many gluten-free, like any type of pastry, like sweet and savory. My older brother is going to come back to our Airbnb and be like, Courtney, what the hell? But, you know. Good. The weather's good. It's not too hot. I don't know if you know, Andre, when it's really hot outside, the English just don't know what to do. They just lose their mind.
Yeah. I heard about that heat wave that hit England, a place notorious for not having air conditioning. Yikes.
Which it makes no sense to me. It's like, hello, y'all, like you colonized the entire world. How did you A, not bring back spices, and B, you went to hot places and didn't think, huh, we should create air conditioning. I don't understand it.
You know, there is that, but there's also the thing like, you know, the planet's dying and it's not supposed to be that hot there. You would have thought, though, that they would have adjusted because it's not like this is the first hot summer. Now it has been the hottest there, but we have been on a steady upward trend that is terrifying, but very real. And they probably should do something about the air conditioning situation.
Yes.
Even though that just might make the planet worse, but you know.
That is very true. So this is probably this is my fourth time in London because I forgot I wanted to work for a work trip. And outside of my work trip where I came in the winter, I've like always come in like between May and August. And the thing is, I mean, maybe I've been very lucky only going to London and like always having beautiful weather. But I feel like every time I'm here, it's like definitely warm enough to have air conditioning. Not like it's 101 degrees and it's like really hot and you need air conditioning to survive. But like, I don't know, maybe it's the American in me where I'm like, I don't know, maybe I think we should turn on the air conditioning when it's like above 80 degrees, you know?
You know, that is a good point, actually. I do believe it is a cultural thing because we kick on the air conditioning real quick, but the tolerance level ain't the same everywhere around the world. And I'm like, yeah, y'all, so ain't nobody else hot around here? Just me? All right. All right, that's cool. I'll just sweat. It's fine.
For me, it doesn't bother me in the middle of the day. It's when I want to sleep. And if you're ever waking up hot, that's the worst feeling.
It's like instant headache for me. It's a problem.
Like, wake up and you're confused about where you are. It's almost like you wake up from, like, a fever dream. You're like, why am I sweating? Where am I?
Bad vibes. But we are glad to be back and talking to y'all. As you may have heard, you know, Courtney does some soccer work, soccer business. So during the CONCACAF W, she's very busy. I was busy with some personal family stuff, but we're good. Everybody's good. And we are back to chat a little bit. We want to do some quick shout outs. We're basically going to focus on the Euros because if you haven't been following her on the timeline, you should at Courtney Stith. But she's been going to a lot of the Euros games. And as the president, CEO, founder, and everything of the hashtag Go to Games campaign, I'm basically just going to drill her with a bunch of questions about things that she has seen in the recent Euros games. But before we get into that, we wanted to give a shout out to South Africa for winning the women's AFCON.
Dope. First title.
Attendance records. First title. There's a really awesome story about the South Africa coach, Desiree Ellis. Yeah, absolutely. Read some stories about that. I'm going to link them in the show notes, but basically been on a real journey with this team. And it has been like, it's one of those great stories that comes to fruition and like one of the best ways in winning this tournament, first title for the team. So for the nation. So that's awesome. And then also want to give a shout out to Colombia, who is in the final of the Copa America Femenina down there in Colombia. They will face Brazil in the final. Courtney, can you tell me who scored the goal to send Colombia to the final?
It is literally the young baller, someone who I've actually had my eye on since the U.S. played Colombia in 2021, I believe. Yes. Linda Caicedo. She's 17. She might have actually turned 18. But I think, off the top of my head, she's 17 and is an absolute baller. There's been a whole bunch of speculation right now on Twitter saying that Barcelona are looking at her and, like, sent people to go see her family and all that stuff. And look, she is a baller. Like, I could tell to be fair, those games against Colombia that the U.S. women's national team played in 2021 were, like, what, like 6-0 and 5-0 or something like that? Like, obviously, it was a lot of U.S. domination because of we're still in the COVID pandemic, but where we were in the pandemic then, a lot of players weren't being released from Europe. There wasn't, like, a lot of travel, all of those things. So Colombia basically just, like, put out a squad of, like, kids, and she was still a super bright star then. And I think at that time she was, what, if she's 17 now in 2022, I mean, she was 16, and I know she got her first call up to the national team at 14. So she's an absolute baller. Like, such a baller.
Yeah, it was extremely dope to watch that and to see the goal and, of course, the celebration as well. So looking forward to that final. I think it's going to be a very good one. Expecting Brazil to go crazy. Actually, you know what? Let's do it. Predictions. Yeah, we didn't even talk about this. I'm just doing it. Predictions for this. Basically, I'm sticking with Brazil because I just think, like, what they have been so ridiculously fun to watch. They are like, if you, okay, so not to cross with the, you know, the thing that I hate. I'm going to do it a little bit, but in a different spirit, you know, when you cross and talk about men's soccer versus women's soccer and all that, and you try to draw parallels. But what I will say is the speed of ball movement does remind me of very early back in the day when I really fell in love with some of those, like, Brazilian men's soccer teams that were just dominant. It's very similar to that. Very quick ball movement, a lot of running in the channels, a lot of just pinging the ball back and forth and into the box, outside of the box, all of a sudden back in as a low cross, tapped in goal. Like, it has been very, very, very fun to watch them. And I just think even though Colombia has made a lot of strides, I think Brazil's better at the moment. Courtney, how about you?
Yeah, honestly, like, I don't know. I feel like when you just have, like, Caroline and Dabinha, like, I know, like, Carolina and Dabinha are not Brazil, but I just also kind of feel like, I mean, when you have the, like, when you just have the two of them and the way Brazil has been playing, it's like, it's going to be hard for me to not root for Brazil. I don't know.
Fair.
It's going to be hard. Like, they they just ball out all the time. Between that and the fact that, at least if I am remembering correctly, that this will be Brazil's potential ninth. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it'll be Brazil will have the opportunity to win an eighth Copa America title. And I think one thing that we've really been seeing over the past few months, and one thing that has really been hammered home, with the exception of potentially the Euros and the Women's Africa Cup of Nations, is that experience really does matter. Like, having just kind of tournament experience and being able to go through it like that really does make a difference. And so, I don't know, I just got to go for Brazil.
You know what? I think that experience point is a very good point, and not necessarily for the players, like every single player on the pitch. Some of the players, yes, because I think it's good to be in those high pressure situations before to know what to expect and to be able to calm the team down if needed, but also from, like, a management perspective. So you don't do anything silly when it comes to some of these moments that you may need to make important decisions in a game. I think that kind of experience is important too. Avoiding overreactions or the wrong reading or the wrong move at the wrong time. So I think those things are important. And you know what? That may have just been a transition to talk about France at the Euros. Now, I want to save the bad part of things for later. So we're gonna set that aside. Basically, Courtney, I am going to step away from the mic, and I just want you to tell me and the people, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you in weeks, just like how fun, ridiculous, highly talented, skillful, amazing that France team is to watch in person.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. And I will give all of what I'm going to talk about with a little bit of grain of salt, because I have been going purely as a fan. And I feel like sometimes when you go places purely as a fan, like, all your logic kind of goes out the window for bits. If you have seen me tweeting in all caps, like, some of my logic has just, it's left, and I've just accepted it, because I said I'm coming to the Euros to just, like, literally be a fan. Like, obviously, if I can get in the press box, I'm going to get in the press box. However, I just, like, wanted to come and, like, just be a fan of women's football. And so I've seen two of France's games. I saw their quarterfinal against the Netherlands, and then I saw the semifinal against Germany. And I will say they really did feel like two completely different matches. Part of that is because of, like, the opposition. Like, the Netherlands are in a completely different spot than Germany is. And also, in terms of experience, Germany are 8-time winners of the Women's Euros. So that is, like, always something that in play. But, yo, like, France, they're just, like, it, like, almost makes me laugh, because they're, it, like, they just, when they're going, and I feel like we saw this so many times in that Netherlands game, like, they just play such a beautiful football. Like, we know kind of French football is so known for, like, triangles and, you know, triangle passing and moving the ball that way. But when it just works, my gosh, it is so pretty. Obviously, I kept having my eye on Wendy Renard, and the fact that I did not experience Wendy Renard header goal.
Oh, pain.
Just Froms, how broke dare my you. Heart. Especially that one. I was like, are you kidding me? It was like right in front of my face, because I was kind of lucky where when I was picking seats for the Euros, like, I just picked out of the ones that were remaining, like, I just picked the ones I thought were going to be best. So for the France-Netherlands game, we were sitting behind the goal, and so I saw Wendy get denied, like, a few separate times, and I was like, why does this keep happening to me? Why can't I just see one of my favorite players in the entire world score from a header, as she always does? But yeah, France play really, really beautiful football, like, especially against the Netherlands. I know that we know that Diakra made several mistakes in terms of roster construction, especially leaving out Amandine Henry. I'm not as mad about Les Sommer getting left out, only because when I see, like, who she was, quote-unquote, in competition with, I'm like, okay, well, Millard's always in great form. Diani's Diani, like, Cascarino, like, you could just kind of list them off, and it's like, okay. Henry still doesn't make sense in my head, but I will say, during the Netherlands game, Charlotte Bilbao had a great match. And so because of that, I think when France's midfield can get there, like, you just see all the beauty of France, like, the flicks, the tricks. When, bro, when Diani hit...
I need you to talk about Diani live.
Hollered in the state, like, out loud, hollered in the stadium. And the craziest bit was that since we were sitting behind the goal, like, that happened pretty far away from where I was seated. And I just saw that, and I just hooted and hollered so loud. Like, when I said I was hooting and hollering in the stadium, like, I was. Because Diani, when when she was on it against the Netherlands, good Lord, I was just hooting and hollering the entire time. It was insane. Like, and it's so, like, it is so, it's such a kind of surreal experience of seeing a player that you've watched on TV so many times. But then seeing them in person and just being able to, like, and I mean, you can kind of do this when you're watching a game on TV, but you just kind of, like, you know, decide to take, like, 5 minutes and just, like, watch them and see the way they move and, like, you know, strings are trying to pull and all of those things. And Diani was just like, she's such a baller. Oh my gosh, she's such a baller. And the fact that she does it, I have about 202 braids on my head. That's an exaggeration, but honestly not by much. And the fact that she does it constantly with braids, I'm like, I fundamentally don't know how you do it, if I'm being my most honest self. Because when I have braids, I think about them probably once every 25 seconds. But yeah, she is just such a baller like, she's so much fun to watch. Like, I don't understand how, like, PSG just does not, between her and Katoto, who I did not get to see in person, and I'm very sad about, but between, like, I can just imagine the two of them playing together in person. I'm like, I don't know how you don't sell out every single stadium, like, every yeah. single time, because just being able to watch the two of, like, watch the two of them, I mean, the thing is, it's so crazy. A, I have, like, the biggest smile on my face right now that you can't see, but it's, like, watching, being able to see all of France, like, when Bacha came in, and it's just a firecracker. That's the only way I can describe Bacha. She is a firecracker on the field. In the best,
she
like,
is wild.
In the best way, like, I mentioned yesterday she got that baby dog in her, and the only reason I said baby dog is because she's, like, 18, and I feel like she's going to matriculate into getting that, like, full dog in her. Like, it's there. It just needs to be, like, not refined in bits, but yesterday, some Germany player fouled her real bad, and, of course, the referee came and whistled, and the Germany player, like, tried to, like, take Bacha's hand to help her up, and she, like, snatched her hand away.
I saw that. The broadcast caught a little bit of that.
I said, ooh, that baby dog. But, yeah, like, all of France, like, they're just, like, their technical skill is so elite. Like, they're I've never seen Brazil play in person, but it, like, reminds me of that, of just their their first touches are, like, for 95% of the time are so elite. Like, watching Karchawi just, like, get up and down the end line, but also getting back and defend and still, like, being able Andre, I think you might have tweeted out a clip of it, of just one of her passes from yesterday, and it was just, like, saucy for absolutely no reason. Like, there was just absolutely no need to do that at that point. And it's just, it did, and, like, it is just, and it's such a magical experience. Like, when France scored, when that Diani goal, I'm giving it to Diani. I know it's an own goal. Like, literally actual dummies, like, dummy randos in my replies being, like, it's clearly an own goal. And I was like, can you read? I said, yes, I understand it's technically an own goal. However, give her the goal. That strike was insane. But, like, the elation that happens when a team you're rooting for scores and there's, like, so much people in the crowd. Like, people are so happy in the crowd. Like, it is just such a magical experience. And all of France, they're just such ballers. Like, Wendy Renard, I know people, I heard this so many times about Virgil van Dijk, and, like, people would call him a Rolls Royce of a defender pre-ACL tear. But, like, Wendy, and also Alana Cook is going to get there too one day, but Wendy just, like, glides over the field. Like, she doesn't, like, in my brain, I don't compute that she's running. Like, she just glides. Like, she's so quick and it's so graceful that she just, like, seems to always clean everything up, rarely if ever take a step wrong. Like, she was absolutely fantastic this tournament, and being able to see her in person do it, and also how she magically gets free every time on a header, and it's like, people, I know you've probably done some homework. You can't let Wendy get free on a header. She will, for the most part, punish you. But yeah, France, they're just, they're all such ballers.
I think I saw a stat on Wendy that said at least going into the semifinal that she has the most shots in the tournament. It's all exclusively from corners.
That doesn't surprise me, because Netherlands was letting her get free on corners literally so many times, and I was like, so y'all just want to lose this game, huh? I think you do. But yeah, France, like, when they're firing, it's just, it's like truly watching art be made. Like, it's so fantastic. And the fact that they're, like, 95% of that team is as black as hell, like, it just brings joy to my heart.
You know, the Diani point is massive. I think that, and you said something very interesting there that I want to call out, because even if you know, obviously I am president, CEO, everything of the hashtag Go to Games campaign. So I will absolutely recommend going if you can. Doesn't have to be Diani. Any women's soccer team you can support and go and watch, please do. If you can get a chance to watch some of these players that you get to exclusively watch on TV, definitely go. Like, I'm super excited. I think the U.S. Women's National Team is playing Nigeria in at D.C. in September. Let's I will go. Absolutely be there.
I will be there, too. I need to do my press credential right now.
Right. But Diani is, I think, in terms of the tournament overall, I think it's been Aslani for Sweden, Oberdorf for Germany, and Diani for France, who have been the standout players throughout the tournament. And I think that, like you said, sometimes you just key in on a player. I know we're kind of trained to just watch where the action is, so we always follow the ball. Try to train your eye not to do that from time to time and focus on certain players. And I think Diani is an excellent one to pick out because her movement and to get open and then how she adjusts her body to receive the ball, the turns. You know, I did GIF a couple of these things and posted them on the account. So you can just see like how she reads the ball plus the defenders around her, able to use both feet equally well. It's just outrageous to watch how good she is. And I think that's why she's been, even in the face of the press, which was kind of like another fun little like subplot in this, Germany's high press is very, very dangerous. And you mentioned that little like,
good Lord.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. But you mentioned like that France, just like kind of like style with it and how some of those players are just like, what, like that little weird flick pass that happened. Like that was deep, deep, deep in the corner. Like that's an area where Germany puts so much pressure on you. And they were just like, nah, we're going to get out of this. We're talented enough. Like we're not even going to be bothered by your little press. And this is a press that has led to a goal in every single match in the tournament for Germany. Their high press created a shooting opportunity, multiple shooting opportunities, but I think a goal in every single match, except for this France one. It's just because those players are so ridiculously skilled and can play one touch to get out of trouble. It was incredible.
Well, and that was also the fun thing about this game as well, was that, and one thing I caught on immediately, because like Germany, they came on the pitch and they were up for it. Like, I will say that for France, like they started that game pretty poorly, like in terms of, I don't want to say mentality, but it was honestly kind of that of like Germany came out and we're like, oh yeah, we're like, we are up for this match. Like we're going to go like high tempo, high press, like really physical. And even though France got their way out of it, like it was almost like France were like, whoa, like we're not 100% used to this, especially kind of thinking about their kind of path to that, to the semifinal. But that was like the most fun little cat and mouse moments were when, and there weren't many of them, but like, for example, Diani would get on the ball and there would be eight players around her, like truly, or like Gras Georo, who is so fun to watch in person, just always an engine in that midfield. Very, very fun to watch in person as well. Like the energy, like God, I just like love watching France play, truly. But you know, Diani or Georo would like get the ball and there would be like truly five German players around them, like with immediacy. Cause you know, that's a part of their high pressing scheme, but it was like the fun cat and mouse. Cause it didn't happen often, but occasionally France would be able to like slip the ball through. And then it was like, oh, look at all these acres of space. And it would happen because of the skill of the French players. And so the few times it did happen, like, it was just so much fun. I do wish, I wish Diocker did, like, 100,000 things differently. First one just being, like, quit your job. But I do wish, because literally number one. but somewhere I'm going to say in that top 50 things. Remember the spirit of Arnold Clark. And I don't know why she just didn't put Wendy up top. Like, there were people on the bench. Like, just literally throw Wendy up top for 5 minutes because they were looking for an equalizer and they could have got it. Also, I will say that referee really reffed that game poorly. The game was terribly refereed. The amount of, it's funny because it's hard to see, for me, it's hard to see a dive on TV. It's real easy to see a dive in person. Like, I think it was Lena Magul.
Yeah, literally it was Magul flop.
Worst dives. And I was like, ref, you have to give a card for that.
She looked like a fish on a boat. It was hilarious. She just flopped.
It was almost as bad, if not, I would say just as bad, as that when Chloe Lacoste had that really bad dive.
Oh, yeah, that one was amazing, too. She fell in stages.
Like, I was like, that game, she didn't give a sing until, like, genuinely 2 minutes into stoppage time at the end of the second half. She didn't give a, like, that was her first handball call. And there were handball calls all over the pitch.
You know, on the ref note, because it was very obvious to see as well, especially in the first half, like Germany got so many free kicks just like around the box, because whenever that ref would see like a ponytail fly in the air, she was calling a foul. And I was like, when you see braids flying, it's not quite the same thing. And then Germany players, of course, leaned into that. But in the second half, she stopped calling him, which, you know, thankfully, but also like nobody knew what to do. Like it was just imbalanced from everywhere. So it was a very strange, like she set a strange tone. I don't know if she talked somebody to correct it, but then was just like, well, I'm not calling anything. There were multiple times I remember where player would get the ball expecting a foul to be called. Like the opposition would be expecting the foul to be called and it wouldn't. So there's okay, well, play on then, I guess. It's just like, it was weird. It was a weird performance from the ref.
Yeah, it was very, very bizarre. But yeah, watching footy in person is really, really great. And France does some very beautiful things. Like, I wish I could give, like, deep tactical breakdowns, but it's, like, you notice them, but you're also, like, this, I'm just watching something that, like, quite simply just, like, looks nice and is flowing super well, and, like, seeing, like, little interchanges between fullback and winger. It was just, it was great. And also, Chelsea's newest signing, Eve Perisse?
Yeah.
She's good, y'all. She's real good.
Pop got her for first goal, but I think she had a pretty good tournament, and I liked a lot of her service from wide. You know, you mentioned Diakre. Let's just talk about this for a second, because I think the problem is that a lot of people don't know her history. She has a history of being playing favorites, retaliating. You know, that's
being a super part of villain. The reason.
Yeah, that's a lot. That is the reason why Henri and Les Amers were not there. Courtney is right. Les Amers is the more borderline one, but Henri straight up said, like, before, I don't know about this. And ever since then, Diakre has been upset about it and has left her off, regardless of how she plays. And if you remember the Women's Champions League game, she, along with Lindsey Horan, shut down Barcelona's midfield. And that was great work from Henri to do so. So, like, yeah, leaving her out. And I've been saying I hope that people don't think I was saying it as some like eureka moment or like I'm so brilliant, because it really wasn't that. It was just like in a major tournament, if you have the ability to call on a player like Henri and what she does to midfields and how she controls them, at some point you're going to miss that and you're going to lose because of it. And I think that in this match, you really saw like they missed somebody being able to just control midfield. But also Diakre made weird moves in the match. She brought on Mateo, who's a very good like central attacking midfielder, and put her out wide to push Diani into like a central forward position. Why would you do that? Diani had been killing it on the wing. She's not a center forward. She's your most productive wing player. And then didn't even play like Sandy Baltimore, who we know is also incredible.
I was Sandy. Where's my girl?
Right? It was like, and that's the thing that I think for me, I get frustrated. Like, yes, people will say, look at the result. You know, that France team looked like they were together. They played beautiful football at times, and they made it to a semifinal in the Euros, their first one ever. So you can't really, you know, be mad at that that type of success or result. And I'm like, yes, I can, because the talent in this team is on a level that I do not think people understand. If you have a non-chaotic coach, simply a non-chaotic coach who builds the roster in a way that makes sense and also makes smart tactical decisions, like, yeah, it's always going to be hard to replace Katoto. Like, when she goes down, that's your attack suffering a major blow. But you have so much talent that you can adjust. And the adjustment was Diani moving to center forward. That can't be it. That is not the move. And so it's like, I know how talented this France team is, and I want to see them be put in a position to maximize that talent and realize it, because they deserve to be able to do that, given how individually they are so incredible, but also collectively, as a collective group of talent, they play very well together. And it's just a shame that we weren't able to see that because of some of the decisions made from the touchline.
Well, and so I do want to talk about when she made that sub for Mateo, because I was like, look, Bilbao, great game against Netherlands. At her and I think whoever plays as number six, whose name is escaping me, her last name is not Toulouse, but it starts with a T. It's T-O-U something. Or just, like, they were gas in the midfield. Honestly, at parts, like, Gueorro was kind of gas in the midfield, which, like, makes sense. You know, they went 120 the last game. Like, it makes complete sense to me. But I was like, okay, you didn't bring Henri. Who is your backup? Because when she did sub out, or when Mateo came in, they played in a 4-3-3, I want to say, for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and then they switched to a 4-2-2, which I was like, okay, I don't necessarily hate this, if even though Diani is so far out on the wing, and this is one thing that I picked up immediately with France, like, Diani is such a huge portion of that France attack. Like, it was truly, like, every time she was on the ball, between her and Bacha, like, her, Bacha, and then at times Guerrero, like, the three of, but really, when Diani would get on the ball, like, it was, I don't want to be like, the sky is parted, but you could just tell she is so much such a focal point of that France attack, that when they switched to a 4-2-2, I was like, okay, I don't hate this, because you're trying to find a way, because of, like, also Germany's, like, defending, and just kind of the nature of the game it was in the second half to me, like, Diani really wasn't on the ball as much. So if you're trying to find a way to get her more involved in the game, okay. But it's also like, okay, well, if that happens, like, other things need to shift. Like, if you're going to start playing in a 4-4-2, like, to me, that also signals, like, we're going to try to be a little bit more sound defensively and then really try to spring an attack. And I'm like, but Bebs, you have not done anything to the midfield. The midfield is still Swiss cheese.
Yep.
And so it's like, yep. Okay, well, like, it's like, what are you going to do? And I mean, I even thought, and to me, this is like, I don't want to back Flacco up anymore because Mans is foolish. But like, one of the big reasons why you bring in veterans, if they're not in your starting 11, right, is to be able to close out games. And it's like, at the end of that Netherlands game, after they got the goal, Diakre made a whole bunch of subs, put in a whole bunch of young players. And it's like, yes, it is important to get young players experience. But also, if you don't want something foolish to happen and you don't want to go to penalties, where are your veterans? Oh, yeah, they're not really in your squad to be able to go and, like, close out a game like the Netherlands. Because, I mean, it was actually kind of funny when she did sub in the young players. The young players were like, yeah, let's go forward and try to score goals, which is awesome. But also, like, y'all got to finish those chances and, like, put the game to bed. Like, it's either, like, you have to sit in and just be, like, 10 players behind the ball and, like, one that's kind of occupying the center backs, like, fully park the bus. Or if you're like, okay, we're just going to keep going forward and, like, try to get a second goal and, like, really put the game to bed. And it was, like, neither of those things.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just really frustrating to see a collection of players this talented and that complement each other very well, partly because a lot of them play together on club teams. So it's not quite the Barcelona-Spain thing, but we've also talked a lot about how the Barcelona-Spain thing is overblown and not accurate in many ways. With that front three, the typical front three, with at least Baltimore, Katoto, and Diani, they all play together, and particularly with Katoto and Diani. And it was unfortunate that Katoto wasn't there, but Diani still was, and you still have a whole lot of talent on that team that complements one another. It's frustrating. I just want to see good decisions made on the pitch. I think there are many, many times where, like, I have never coached a national team. So all the decisions that are made, obviously I don't have the one-to-one experience or perspective in doing it, but that doesn't mean that you can't look at things and be like, well, common sense did not prevail in this situation, such as the Henri thing. Like, this is a major international tournament. If you're the type of coach who's going to hold a grudge over a player criticizing tactics that did deserve to be criticized, then I think that you are not fit for the job. So back to more evidence for your point on bullet point number one of Karine Diakre's to-do list, retire.
I will say, I do understand Diakre getting angry about being criticized about tactics she just does not have. If you're going to call me out by something, at least be accurate. Because those tactics, at some point yesterday, I was like, babes, where are they? I was like, I see Germany's game plan. I don't know what your game plan is. I don't see it, sadly, but... Yeah, and it sucks because, like, I mean, I tell everyone, like, if France had if France just had, like, Vlaco, they go win every single tournament. I was like, I'll say 85% of things that Vlaco does, but at least, like, He's not. He's gonna like at least try to give you a game plan or something. Like, or just hopefully not be super abusive and like if you switch. That's actually such a fun thought experiment. Oh, if you like switched national team coaches, like who would prevail? And it's like, yeah, Diakre just don't. There's just no tactics. Like it's truly the players coaching themselves.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing. I noticed by looking back at their performances. Throughout the entire tournament, I think this is really highlighted in the fact that France did not score a single goal in the second half. They scored that penalty in extra time. That Parise got that penalty in extra time, but they did not score a goal in the second half of the game, the second 45 minutes. Which, as we know, that's when adjustments are made at halftime and after halftime, adjustments to the adjustments to try and create opportunities. And that is consistently where Diakre fell down because, again, the Diani at center forward thing, trying to mix and match and not really understanding how the talent and attack could complement one another and therefore setting them up to fail in many ways. So, yeah, I thought that stat when I read that and I had that realization, it was just like, oh, so that's a problem. That's a major problem that basically if the team wasn't able to do it on their own in the first 45, Diakre was not going to be any help in the second 45 at all. And in fact, would sometimes work against the team. So I don't know. I know the French Federation is extremely chaotic. I know they seem to thrive on the drama. The men's team won a World Cup with a lot of drama. I think that the same thing, they'll probably feel like this performance from Diakre was great and that the result was good and they were just unlucky. Like I read the quotes after the game where she just said like they lacked efficiency in front of goal and it just wasn't their time and it's a disappointment. And it's like they lacked efficiency in front of goal because of a lot of the things that you did. You didn't put them in great positions to be able to succeed or capitalize on their abilities. So like, yeah, but having said all that, I just think we're going to be stuck with her. And I'm sad for France and I'm sad for those players.
Yes, sadly, that is true because there have been reports in L'Équipe that they're at least going to try to keep her on through the 2024 Olympics. And it's like, okay, understand that's 2 years. How? I don't know. Like how it's actually 2 years. Can't think about that for too long. Otherwise, I'm going to walk straight right into the ocean. But it's also like, y'all have to do something. Like to me, and I mean, I tell people this all the time, like, France has had a good coach. They would be winning everything, like, or at least getting to finals, semifinals, at the minimum. Because they have the players, like, they truly have the players to do it. But yeah, like, I feel for them. I really do. I really do feel for them.
Yeah, I think, it's rough. So, Let's move on. We are sad that France is out. They made it far. So shout out to those players and shout out to Diani all tournament. I think she has been incredible. Should we, before we get out of here, I know the this is going to be a very lacking in melanin deficient final. We know Anyomi on Germany has got some time. Yeah, extremely alabaster 11. We know Nikita Paris and Jess Carter are also there. In fact, amen. As much as Rachel Daly was getting ate up by Athenia, I thought that Jess Carter might make her way into the lineup because they seem to have an unbalanced back line. They want Lucy Bronze to go forward, but that other fullback has to stay back, and that's perfect for Jess Carter. So I thought she might come in, but apparently that change has not been made. So I don't expect to see much melanin on the pitch, really at all. To be honest, I don't. We haven't seen them sub in instances unless the game is blown wide open. Anyomi scored a goal for Germany, which was awesome, but we haven't seen a whole lot of Jess Carter or Nikita Paris in this tournament. So I don't know.
Demi Stokes even too?
Yeah, or Demi Stokes. Correct. Should we even do a small preview or prediction? What should we do with this final? Because I mean, honestly, I am excited about it. I do think it's going to be a good one. I'm just a little sad that you know. If France was more capable, I 100% would have tipped them to beat Germany.
Yeah, and I can talk about it one of two ways. As you know, as Andre, you are a CEO, co-founder, Mark by Mark Jacobs of #GoToGames campaign. I will say I've been to now three England games, and I will be going to a fourth. Wait, I've been to two England games. I'll be going to a third. I was like, I haven't been there for that long. The atmosphere at England games is absolutely electric. Like, it's so much fun. Like, it's, I mean, it's what we talked about several weeks ago when we were put out our first predictions of who's going to win the Euros. For me, I'm still Team England for my first prediction because that home crowd just makes such a big difference. And, like, even seeing, for example, so I went to all of the, I went to both semifinals and then all the quarterfinals except for the one, Sweden versus Belgium. Yeah. And I didn't go to that because I was told it would be impossible to get to and from that stadium. And I was like, cool, don't need to go. And yeah, the atmosphere at Wembley is going to be great. Every atmosphere that I've been to between Bramall Lane, and the Amex Stadium in Brighton has, like, it's literally been so much fun. The crowd is singing, like, cheering the whole time. They give you these things that are, like, it's like a large piece of, like, thick paper that they, like, fold up, and you, like, hit it on things. And I can't lie, it honestly sometimes sounds like a whoopee cushion, which is very funny. But you just, like, hit it, and, you know, it just, like, makes noise, and you have, like, clappers and all this stuff. So I will say, like, the feeling of the stadium every time England plays, it's always a really, really great atmosphere and, like, makes it fun. Like, every time England has scored, I've, like, dang near lost my mind. Like, that first, I mean, obviously the equalizer against Spain, the Georgia Stanway, absolute, I don't want to call it a rocket because it did not feel laser. Like a rocket, but it was just
laser.
That absolute a laser goal. Like, and that was so funny because if you go to a lot of games, especially with, like, really big crowds, like, and then you're not scoring or something, like, the crowd just, chant at you to shoot. Like, shoot, shoot. And that was, like, the one time I heard it happen and, like, it actually came off well. That time we'll be like, shoot. And then, like, the player will, like, blast the ball, like, kick a field goal or something. But that was, like, the one time it actually, like, worked really well when they were like, shoot, shoot. And she shot and obviously the goal went in and it was, like, absolutely electric. And between Alessia Russo's back heel that I wish someone had video of me reacting to that because I was like, oh, the chance, like, oh, it kind of seems like the chance is over. Like, maybe they're going to recycle it. And then that back heel literally came out of nowhere. And I genuinely lost my brain for a second. Like, I was, like, shaking my brother's shoulders, like, oh, my God. And, like, I was losing it. And then Fran Kirby chipping the keeper and then coming to slide to the corner that I was sitting in. I was like, I'm having the greatest day of my life.
I'm so jealous.
It was, oh, my God, it was literally so magical. I was like, but, yeah, like, it's, like, why you want to go to games. And it's also, like, why we want these players. Like, that's, I will say the one thing about the Euros is that, you know, seeing Germany play Austria or even, like, France play the Netherlands. Like, those are big games.
Yeah.
Like, those are big games. And one of them we saw was at New York Stadium, which is, like, a 12,000-seater, which, like, ended up being a good environment because about 9,000, a little bit more than 9,000 people showed up. So the stadium was mostly full. And, of course, Netherlands, like, always goes hard for their players. But between that and then seeing Germany versus Austria at Brentford Stadium, like, I'm like, these players deserve, and truly the football they play deserves to be played in front of bigger crowds. And it's like, cool, because at least England gets that, but it's also, like, the other players also deserve, especially, like, sometimes I understand group games, but especially when you get to, like, quarterfinals, semifinals, like, these players should really be playing in bigger stadiums.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that hopefully all the energy that we've seen in South America, you know, of course, in Mexico for CONCACAF W, of course, in Africa for the Women's AFCON tournament, you know, we saw records have been broken, attendance records, viewership records, all of that. And it's not a surprise to us. We've been in it forever. We've been understanding that the audience is there and that the support is there forever. Make it accessible, make it an event, give it all the production and the quality that you need, give it the venues, the pitch, everything, because the athletes are there and they deserve it and they're immensely talented. It's been funny, actually, on my timeline. I keep seeing every time, like, a GIF goes up, you know, a bit, like, spreads out of my bubble, there's always these quote tweets of dudes just being like, ooh, the levels of the women's game have gotten good. I'm like, bro, please, like, stop it.
Oh, the amount of conversations I've been in and around, like, so I had... at MK Dons, which is where the France Germany game was. It's like a brand new stadium, and I was sitting behind, and I truly can only call them like lads, maybe blokes, but like that's the only way I can really describe them, because they were like, I mean, I tweeted this yesterday, but it was so funny because they'd be like, they would yell silly things at the ref, being like, ref, why can't you tell that all these players, like all these Germany players are diving? And I was like, yes, yes, they see it too. Okay. But then they'd also be like, oh, Diane. And I'd be like, who's Diane? Bro, like take 2 seconds to learn it's Diani. And they also came up with a bad nickname for Wendy that annoyed me.
Oh, no. Yeah,
it wasn't like a bad nickname. It was just like stupid. It was just like so dumb. And I'm trying to remember what it was, because I remember I heard it and then I was like, you need to leave immediately. Like, get out of the stadium. Like, it wasn't disrespectful or anything. It was just like literally such a stupid nickname. But yeah, I was like, okay, well, this is, you know, what you get when you play big games in bigger stadiums, but also like, I don't know, just, I was just like, you guys are so annoying, but you're also sometimes funny, but you're also so annoying.
Yeah, I mean, it's spreading it out to a wider audience. I just hope that, you know, people, I was going to say something stupid, because we live in 2022 and people aren't going to do the research to find. They're just going to assume that they have all the knowledge possible when they first are introduced to something. And like, oh, I have enough to be able to form a smart opinion on everything that I've seen. And it's like, well, settle down. There's some things that you don't understand. Like somebody on Twitter was asking me, like, well, what's going on with the women, with the France team's coach? He seems fine to me. And I'm like, bro, I honestly cannot spend like the entirety of this game breaking down everything for you. I need you to use that Google. I really do. I really need people free.google.com. Like it's
free. $3.99.
To you, $3.99. I really need you to get yourself caught up instead of barreling in with opinions that are completely uninformed, because I'm sorry you came across this tweet and don't know the context for it, but that is not my problem. Like that's between you, God, and Google. Please do that. So anyway, I think that's it. I think we're going to end there. Courtney, anything else to say? Are you going to the final?
I am going to the final. I do wish.
Oh, so jealous.
I had slightly better tickets. It's only because, and I know this is like, I wish I had better tickets, but it's only because I believe we're sitting in front of a corner, and it's quite, and this is like just me personally, like sometimes it's like so hard for me to read the game from that angle.
I
wish I was either like behind the goal or like on the sideline.
Yeah,
like it's just like super weird being like in the corner, but it's also super nice because sometimes the players will come celebrate towards you and they're like, oh my god. But I generally, like, I cannot remember who gave me the tickets off the top of my head, but thank you to you, because also thank you to the power of Twitter. Like, truly, this would not have happened without y'all. Of, like, me just being able to tweet something out, being like, hi, I'm looking for a tiki for this one random thing. And then you guys responding, and it's like, oh, wow, this is such a beautiful thing. So, yeah, going to games, it's a lot of fun. Don't forget COVID exists.
It's really
They really forget COVID exists here in England, and it's very frustrating. That's like literally me in my N95, and I'm just like trying to hex away from people and taking probably too many vitamins every day to try to boost my immune system. So do not forget COVID exists.
Yeah, the pandemic, that's still a thing.
Also monkeypox now.
Let's not even the last thing before we get out of here, yo, depending on when you listen to this, you may or may not be aware of this, but I think the NWSL comes back this weekend. There are a couple really, really important games. I think that it seems kind of wild to say that in like late July, but also it's late July in a summer season. So I think it's kind of important. North Carolina and Washington play each other. Those are the two teams at the bottom of the table at the moment, which is kind of wild. North Carolina has a lot of games in hand, but that's going to be a banger. Dabinia and Caroline won't be there, but the Spirit really need 3 points. Angel City and OL Reign play on Saturday. That is like a 10:30 p.m. kickoff Eastern time, I think. That's going to be a really, really fun one. I don't know if we'll see Heidemann in that one, but it would be dope to see that. If so, Reign really needs to score goals, and she can do that. And then there's also the Red Stars and the Wave. They play before Angel City and OL Reign. They play at 8 p.m. Eastern. on Saturday. That's like a top three matchup, I believe, at the moment on the table. Kind of dope. I think the Red Stars can actually leapfrog San Diego if they get the 3 points from that one. So, yeah, everything's coming back, and we're going to be able to talk about it all at some point. We'll see. Courtney still has to go to a final, take some real vacation where she's not watching soccer at all. I've got, you know, still a couple things to do family-wise, but we're going to try and keep talking to y'all as we go on, and the summer of soccer continues and becomes the fall of soccer, the winter of soccer, then the spring of soccer, and then a World Cup, and good Lord. So, yeah, we're going to be here.
And there are rumors that they're trying to move the World Cup back like by a month. And we're like, no, stop it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just stop it.
The only thing I have to say is do not forget that players are people. Because we have one of the friends of the pod. I know we're going out on a high note, but I do want to say this. One of the friends of the pod, Teague McGrady, was a man of terrible opinions who we've all seen. The one who, Mr. Ebony Salmon, Andre, I think you actually might have... What a mess.
Yes.
Mr. Ebony Salmon, just like, you can have your opinions about a player.
To give that full context, it's Mr. Ebony Salmon is overrated because that was his comment when she was coming into the league and joining Rossing Louisville. He said that, I'm learning today that a lot of people overrate Ebony Salmon, and all she's done since then is banging goals.
Truly, when she finally gets playing time, which now with Houston she does. But I do just want to say, reflecting of our first friend of the pod, Kyle McCullough, says that players have feelings and people need to recognize how their words affect people. And what I'm going to say to this is, you can say, like, there's, and one thing that I think people don't understand is, you can say a player is not having a great game or be like, yeah, they didn't play well today. But there are a lot of mostly white folks on here that take it to another level and start having personal criticisms of people. And it's like, and I mean personal criticisms of, like, through the lens of their playing experience, not their politics or the way they carry themselves, because of that, that's not what I'm talking about. So remember that players have feelings, and you can say they weren't playing well or didn't have a good game without, like, taking it to another level, which is what we see all the time over and over, especially with Black players. And that's why we're here, to support and celebrate Black players, Black women, and remind y'all that you can say someone had a bad game or talk about their performance in a negative way without being a shitty person.
Facts. I could go on for another 20 minutes about this. I think criticism, of course, in the realm of when it's kind of you've put it as your front-facing job to be able to analyze talent and discuss talent and games and everything else, I think it is important to also remember certain things. Now, when somebody does something like, say, Karine Diacre, I think it's okay to then talk about that person and the things that they have done. But I think the difference is, of course, when you look at a player, and this happens a lot, especially with young Black players, is that people want to really step on them before they're fully formed. And that was kind of the problem that the biggest problem I had with that Ebony Salmon comment is, I think she was either a teenager at the time or like just months into not being a teenager anymore. And it's like, bro, what do you mean? She can't be overrated. She literally just showed up on the national stage and is a very exciting player. Like, give her time to develop. What you see right now can't be anything but promising unless you're being a hater. And turns out he was just straight up being a hater. So it's stuff like that. And again, I think Courtney said it best. That's why this podcast exists. We know that the analysis from other places can be flawed and influenced by multiple different factors, which, you know, again, I ain't gonna name them all. We all know what they are and can be. Sometimes they're not that. Sometimes they are that. But regardless of what it is, there's biases, there's everything else in it. And we're here to make sure that all players get treated fairly, and that the players that need to be hyped up because people have been stepping on them. Because now you can't just be like, because it's funny, where's the tweet that says I was wrong about that? You know what I mean? Like, there's no going back to those things. It's not like people ever go back to those things and say, oh, I was so wrong, I totally forgot, like, this player is amazing now. It's never that. It's always try to keep them down. And then, of course, now if she misses a chance, then of course you get to bring back that hatred. And it's like, no, the performances have been there, you've been awfully quiet. So, like, you were wrong. So, anyway.
Wait, Andre, I have one last thing to say.
Last thing.
Happy belated birthday!
Oh, goodbye, everybody.
Okay, no. was Andre's birthday on July 22nd. Put it in your calendars. I have it in my calendar. My, happy belated birthday. We have not recorded since. I have not seen you since. However, happy belated birthday, oh, Tower of Power. We should also do a segment about what position you will play, because I'm convinced you are a Samuis, but other people have other opinions.
We might have to do that on the next episode, but also you, Sky and Sills, got to change y'all's display name. It's gone on too long. It's enough of this. Enough! My birthday was many days ago. It's enough.
We're still out here celebrating.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
And we shout out to Arnold Clark and his spirit.
To y'all. Yes, shout out to Arnold Clark. That's really all I want is love and respect to the godfather of women's football. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Diaspora United Podcast. Please subscribe and rate and review us anywhere you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Diaspora United Pod. That's Diaspora UTDPOD. And message us if there's anything you want us to talk about in our next podcast. See you next time.